Lesson 27. Good to see y'all. Glad you are here. Let's start here with a word of prayer. Daryl, would you like to lead us one? So we've walked with Jesus as we have gone from the upper room down to Gethsemane. He was there with his disciples in the final hours before the mob came and collected him there. And we talked last time just about Jesus meeting his betrayer and the mob that took him and bound him and led him back up that same path, probably around the east side of the city through the Kidron Valley back up to the upper city. Ken, is this ready to go again, or is we still down here? And so Jesus, as we talked last, was being taken to the house of a high priest in Caiaphas. And we've thought some about just the events leading up to that, even somewhat a reluctance of the mob that came to get Jesus, that were so determined when they got there when Jesus said that he was the one. So we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He said, "I am." And they fell back, remember? Some hesitance there. There were some, perhaps, who were even thinking and recognizing that he was making some reference to deity, even as God had done with Moses, as Jesus has done before, back in John chapter 8. But Jesus was there to give himself to those who had come to collect him. They bound him, and which, again, we talked about, you know, he was willing to go wherever they would lead, but still they bound him to take him to the house of Caiaphas. And so on page 54 of our outlines, kind of where we left or stopped off last time, where Jesus willingly gave himself to the hands of his accusers. And we've tried to picture the scene of Jesus being led to the house of the high priest. It's a little bit interesting to think about just what took place there, and the fact that in John's account, we find that he was taken before Annas. Well, Caiaphas was the high priest. John's account might indicate that Annas was high priest as well. I think we'd started talking about that. We're somewhere around page 228, I think, or something like that. We had a little problem this morning. We're trying to sort out here on the PowerPoint. And so some question about who was high priest. And so in John chapter 18, and let's see, in verse 18 it says that the band of soldiers and their captain, the officers of the Jews, arrested Jesus and bound him. And they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now Caiaphas was he who gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And so one of the questions for us to think about was kind of a thought question, doing a little bit of research. Jesus was first taken to Annas, then to Caiaphas. Well, why was that? I mean, and who is Annas? And maybe who is Caiaphas? Now, all of the gospel accounts don't really make this distinction, but John's does. Which one was high priest? How do we deal with that?
Well, I actually can't remember which one was which, but one of them was recognized as high priest by the Jews, and the other was kind of put in by the Romans, is what I understand.
Okay, there seems to be that we are in a period of time where, even though the high priest was a position among the Jews, the Romans have their hands in this too. Because from around 6 AD or so, Palestine was ruled by the Romans. And so they have, you know, their influence even among what the Jews are doing. Now, history says something about Annas serving as high priest for a period of years. Seems like it's about 7 or 8 years prior to Caiaphas. But for some reason, he was disposed from that position. Why the Romans had anything to say about that, you know, that has nothing to do with Roman law. That has to do with the Jews. But here again, it's the Roman influence. And in some way, Annas was not ruling the Jews in such a way that satisfied the Romans, and so he was disposed. Caiaphas, his son-in-law, was put in place. Caiaphas, you know, was the high priest for a number of years. In fact, one thing I read is that he served for 17 years as high priest, which was kind of a long time compared to the other high priests that would serve during Roman time. Because, if the high priest just kind of got out of sorts with the Roman rule, well, they just, you're out. They put somebody else in. You know, that was their influence. Well, I can't help but to think that if Caiaphas served that long, he must have pleased the Romans. Doesn't mean he pleased God. But he pleased the Romans. And so Caiaphas served. And an interesting thing, too, about Caiaphas, the record would indicate, the secular history, that he was quite a brutal judge among the Jews. He was a pretty rough character. And in fact, that was the reason, I believe it was in 37 AD, that Caiaphas was put out and somebody else was put in. His brutality had just become so great that even the Romans couldn't put up with it. I mean, that's something to me. Because the Romans, well, they were pretty brutal themselves, weren't they? And so for the high priest to come to a point where he has caused enough problems and ruckus that the Romans didn't want him to be high priest anymore says something. And so the high priest at this point in time is kind of in that position where he's trying to keep Jews pacified. He's trying to keep the Roman hierarchy pacified. And I'd like to think somewhere in there that he's supposed to be trying to please God in the things he does, isn't he? Well, at least up until the point of the death of Christ and the old law being no more. But that's a little bit of what I can find, you know, about Caiaphas. And so it says that they brought Jesus to Annas first. Well, where was that at? Well, some have said and presumed that Annas was probably there at the same compound as Caiaphas. That's where the high priest stayed. He was still called high priest in one of the gospel accounts. Still referred to as high priest, even though it was Caiaphas who was high priest that year, is the way John says. Caiaphas is the official high priest. But there was still the title that went with Annas, even though he wasn't the one that was exactly serving that way. So why did they take him to Annas first? Yes. Yes.
I read that according to Jewish law, the high priest was a lifetime position.
Mm-hmm. According to Jewish law, enter the Romans into the picture. And so this tells us something about the influence of the Roman government. You know, that at will, they're making changes. And the Jews are going along with that. Willingly or because they have no choice, I don't know. But that's kind of what's happening now. And so, and in fact, in the text, it refers to the high priest. Jesus is taken before the high priests, you know, plural. Is it making reference just to Caiaphas and Annas? Or were there others who had served? I don't know. I really don't know exactly what that means. I just kind of stood out to me, you know, that way. When we go back in the Old Testament, we see that there was always one high priest serving, right? There were other priests, but there was one high priest. And so here we have more than one who is living. But technically, Caiaphas is the one who is serving as high priest. Somewhere along the line here, too, is when the disciples fled. You know, if you go to Matthew's account for a second, Matthew chapter 26, the latter part there of Matthew 26. Go back to the garden for a moment. And when they had come to him to fetch Jesus, and Jesus says, "Here I am, I am he." And the episode with Peter and the sword cutting off the servant's ear and all that has already happened. And Jesus has said, you know, "Why are you doing this? Don't you know I could call 12 legions of angels if I wanted to stop this?" You know, so all of this has happened and taken place. And so in Matthew 26, verse 56 is where we find the text where it says, but all of this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all of the disciples forsook him and fled. Remember, Jesus has already said at this point, you know, to those who have come to get him, you know, let these alone. You know, you've come for me. Let these alone. And so the disciples now, they've all gone different ways. They've all run. Now, Peter and John come back into the story. I don't know where the rest of them went, but they've all left Jesus now. And so as Jesus is being taken to the house of the high priest, it's just Jesus. The 11 aren't with him. The disciples aren't following along. But it's Jesus all alone as he is taken to the high priest. Of course, it was at night. We looked at this picture here the other night. You know, this is a scene from like the courtyard of the house of Caiaphas. At least what is believed to be the courtyard of the house of Caiaphas. And if this is not the house of Caiaphas, you could stand there in this spot. You could look somewhere along the upper city. Somewhere right there was the house of Caiaphas, because that's where it was up in the upper city, up on the hill. And so you can see, you know, around the corner down here, around the city, down here was, around the corner there was the Garden of Gethsemane. So it's night. Jesus has been led. He's been brought back up. He's up here to the house of Caiaphas. We talked about this, that these may be the steps that Jesus walked up, you know, going up to the upper city, steps that have been there from the first century and beyond. We looked at these the other night, just trying to get a view of this in our mind. And so, again, thinking about where Jesus was brought here to the house of Caiaphas, we looked at this last time too. A Catholic church that's been built over the site of the house of Caiaphas and some of the scenes in and around that. And where we left off here was right here, that inside this church building, in the sanctuary, there's a hole in the floor. And the reason for the hole in the floor is because there was a hole there before. This church building was built over that. They didn't put a hole when they built the church building. It was already there. I mean, tradition would have it for centuries that this was the site of the house of Caiaphas. Well, what's significant about that? Well, Caiaphas was a ruler among the Jews. He had responsibilities even of discipline among the Jews. And within the house of Caiaphas, you know, there was a dungeon below, and you can stand above and you can look through this hole into a dungeon below. This was where prisoners would have been let down into this dungeon below. I mean, there was no stairs that would take you into it as there is now. There's, because you can walk right down into it. Picture's a little confusing here, but if you look over here, this is down inside that hole, down inside that dungeon, and this is from the bottom looking up into the hole that goes up into the sanctuary inside that church building. And so prisoners were brought here, Jewish prisoners. And what a gruesome thought to even contemplate being put in the dungeon, because it was, you're just being let down into a dark hole. You didn't flip on a light switch and put lights in there. It was just a dark hole. And there was no way out. I mean, once the rope was gone, there was no way to get out of that hole. And so some have said, was Jesus kept here? I don't know. There's nothing said about him being put in the dungeon, really. He's beaten at the house of Caiaphas. Would that have happened here? I don't think that would have happened there, probably. Just a couple of thoughts here. You recall in Matthew chapter 26, verse 57, it says that those who laid hands on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Well, I don't imagine anybody assembled down in that hole. But again, you know, this was at the house of Caiaphas, you know, and this is where prisoners would have been kept. Well, what about Peter and John? You know, like in Acts chapter 5, here's something interesting to think about. You remember in Acts chapter 5, the apostles had been told to stop their teaching and all of that. In Matthew chapter 5, let's see. Continuing here, verse 17, we kind of take up again with the imprisonment of the apostles. It says, then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go stand and speak to the people in the temple and all the words of this life. When they had heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and they taught. Well, if they were taken to the high priest, they were taken somewhere close to this vicinity. I don't think they were really put into this dungeon, because this dungeon didn't have any gate or doors to let people in or out. But you know, there was here, just outside of the dungeon, there's a whole area where there could have been cells. It was a prison area under the house of Caiaphas. Could this have been where Jesus was taken? Now that seems more likely. That seems more possible. And Peter and John as well could have been brought to a place such as this. And because connected right here, when you go around the corner, I mean, you're into the courtyard of the house of the high priest. Now, the courtyard here is kind of, into the ground, I guess you would say, kind of like a cave type of an area here. But this out here is the outer courtyard of the house of Caiaphas, right here. And again, I mean, I emphasize this a lot. I will keep saying it. Do we know absolutely 100% positively for sure that this was the house of Caiaphas? Well, no, we don't. I mean, it was somewhere right there, is where somewhere very close. And there's been enough artifacts that have been found here that is, for centuries, has led many to believe that this was at least part of the house of Caiaphas. This was the courtyard of the house of Caiaphas. And if you walk out here onto this porch area, right out there, the picture that I showed you to begin with, looking from here down to the city, that's right outside. That's the courtyard right there. Is this the courtyard where Peter was when he denied the Lord 3 times? It was somewhere right there. You know, is this John was there first, of course. Was John there in that courtyard? Was Jesus inside these walls? I don't know. Maybe not, but it was somewhere very, very near. It would have been something that would have looked somewhat like this right here. Just interesting things to think about and to try to put a picture in our mind of these events now. Here Jesus is at the house of Jesus. And he's being questioned by Annas. For how long? I don't know. It was the middle of the night when he was brought from the garden. It may have taken 45 minutes or an hour to walk from the garden up to the house of Caiaphas. And so it's in the middle of the night this questioning is going on. At what point was Caiaphas brought into the questioning? I don't know, but at one point Jesus was sent bound to Caiaphas. Where was he sent to? I presume somewhere right there on that courtyard is where Caiaphas was at. And where he met with Caiaphas. It was somewhere right in here that Jesus was beaten at the house of Caiaphas as well. There's not a lot that is said about that. But somewhere along there it happened. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Again, you know, as we've studied through the book of John, we have primarily just made a real effort just to stay in John's account. Even though sometimes the other gospel accounts, you know, had some other things to say. Once in a while we looked at that. Most of the time we've just stayed in John's account. And we're making some exception here as we get into these final hours. I just want to read this account, Matthew 26, verse 57. And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes, the elders, were assembled. Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard. And he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, still they found none. But at least 2 false witnesses came forward and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said to him, do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, I adjure you by the living God that you tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. And then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. And they spat in his face and beat him. And others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is the one who struck you? And so somewhere there in the house of Caiaphas, these are the events as they unfold. The questioning and sort of the trial of Jesus and beating him there. These are some things that took place. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Beginning at verse 66. Well, Jesus is going to be led from just Caiaphas to a trial before the Sanhedrin. You know, which is called by some the Jewish trial that's going to take place. And John doesn't really relate this trial right here. Before the council. There's actually like six trials that Jesus goes through, that Jesus endures. First there was Annas, and then there's Caiaphas, then the Sanhedrin, then there's Pilate, and he's taken to Herod, and he's taken back to Pilate. John doesn't tell us about all of those. Remember what we've seen with John's account in so many ways is a little bit tighter, more succinct, to the point. Remember we said back at the very beginning, John's purpose in his writing was to cause us to have faith in Christ. He tells us just what you have to know to lay out the story. But really, when you look at all the gospel accounts, there were like six trials or questionings that Jesus went through. John tells us about Annas. He tells us about Pilate. And he tells us about being taken back to Pilate, and leaves out any of these other details. For a moment here, let's look at Luke's account, Luke chapter 22, verse 66. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into their council, saying, are you the Christ? Tell us. And he said to them, if I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God. And they all said, are you then the Son of God? And he said to them, you rightly say that I am. And they said, what further testimony do we need? For we ourselves have heard it from his own mouth. I don't know that there were not more questions answered or asked by the Sanhedrin. The trial maybe took longer than this, but this is what is recorded for us here. But this gets us to the nuts and the bolts. You know, Jesus has admitted again, you know, that yes, I am the Son of God. And now the Sanhedrin, just like at Caiaphas, you know, Caiaphas, they said, well, what are we going to hear? The priest. Now it's before the Sanhedrin, the whole council. They've heard this. They said, well, what more proof do we need? You know, this is blasphemy. He claims to be the Son of God. And so to them, the trial is done. You know, this is over. And so we think about here some of the different texts. You know, John's account speaks about the questioning of Annas. And there's a very bitter exchange, you know, from Annas. And that's more or less the attitude that continues, you know, with the high priest and with the Sanhedrin. It's that same kind of attitude. You know, when you think about for a moment here, I wanted to ask a question just about, well, what is the Sanhedrin? I mean, Jesus has been led now to the Sanhedrin. What or who is that? Who is the Sanhedrin? These are some of the Jewish leaders. I'm still just a little bit confused exactly where they all come from. There are priests involved. And best I can understand, there are 70 judges, so to speak, 70 members that make up the Sanhedrin, including the high priest, Caiaphas. And so now there's been this larger assembly that has taken place, you know, when this has happened. We're not at Pilate's house anymore. By this time, Jesus has been led to a bigger assembly hall. But before we go there, let's stop and going back to John's. Let's go back to John's account for a moment. And let me stop here. I'm asking you, I've been doing all the talking. Questions, comments. What are some of your thoughts here at this point? Anything that stands out to you? Anything that comes to your mind about these events here as they are unfolding?
Jesus didn't have a chance. He had all the quotes that just one progression might have to another. He didn't have a chance. They've already made up their mind.
Before he was there. And Jesus even it said as much. You know, it's like, you know, what am I going to say? Yeah, Jesus has basically said, it doesn't matter what I say. What we just read in Luke's account just a moment ago. And so as far as going through a trial process and it coming out in a favorable way to release Jesus, he doesn't stand a chance. I mean, that's not going to happen. And yet, on the other hand, as Jesus has already acknowledged, if that were the purpose, he had more than just a chance. All he had to do was call 12 legions of angels. And he could have been released. That wasn't the purpose. That was not the purpose of Jesus and what he was there for, Rick.
I'm impressed, not in a good way, but with how far that this religious office of high priest had deviated from what God intended. Now it's an office of power, politics, and that seems to be the primary emphasis of what's happening here when God's intention was to lead the people spiritually.
Right. Absolutely. You're right. It has digressed so far from God's original intent and purpose.
Jesus had many opportunities, if he even wanted to. Like, for example, when the man spoke to him, and he said, prophesy, if you're the Christ, who is it? This might be what Jesus could have said, well, you're John Smith.
Sure.
And then that would have led to other questions, which he could have answered all.
Sure.
And so that it wasn't God's purpose that he do that, and that's why he remained quiet, and that was, you know, fulfilled with the prophecy from Isaiah.
You're right. I've thought about that a number of times. When you think about this scene, as Jesus is being led to the house of Caiaphas and into these trials, you know, Jesus doesn't fight that. He's like a lamb who is quiet, who's just being led along, willing to go where he's being taken. And that's pretty amazing. And something else, too, Les, when you said that, in one of the accounts, in fact, I think we'll all read this later in John's account, perhaps, it was like Jesus could have given answer to those questions. And would some have believed? Well, maybe. But Jesus is going to make the point here shortly. Is that when he's being asked by Pilate, you know, about who are you and what is your testimony? Jesus says, everybody's heard it. I've not kept anything secret. Everything I've spoke has been in public. He's already said everything that needs to be said. And he confirmed what he said with the signs and miracles, so there was no doubt that he was there. He was the power of God representing. Still didn't believe it. So even if he had given testimony, if he had answered in a different way, would some have believed? Maybe so. But would they have all believed that they weren't willing to listen? They've already proven that they're not willing to believe that he was the Son of God.
Yeah, I mean, maybe their practice is hard for me to believe that all these important people would get together in the middle of the night to do this, you know, as a matter of standard procedure. It seemed like he was on a fast track.
Yeah.
They had an agenda to move him through that process as quickly as possible.
Well, and of course, the Passover clock is ticking over here. You know, they're trying to accomplish all of this before the Passover. And so there's that urgency. But I mean,
they're also doing this at night.
Yeah.
Because I've always thought they're afraid that the multitude would rise up against them.
Yeah.
Who have heard Jesus. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. I guess we always think bad things happen at night. Happen in the daylight.
Yeah, yeah. This is a good point too. I mean, who is assembled? The multitude? No. Now the Sanhedrin have come together. Who went and roused them all up and brought them and assembled them? I don't know. But some of these would have been the same ones who opposed Jesus at the temple and in the city center. You know, and knowing though there were many who believed Jesus too. They're not there. They've not been invited. They don't even know that this is happening. This is taking place because it's happening in the middle of the night.
To Gary's point, I don't think the Ku Klux Klan lands very many people here today.
yeah, that's true. that's true. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's I don't know if ironic is the right word, but they used, or Jesus gave them exactly what they wanted to hear to convict him, which was the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So they convicted him. One day he will convict them with the same truth.
Right. Yeah. Good point. Let's take a little sidetrack here in John's account. We go back to Peter. And while all these events are taking place, we've talked about the Sanhedrin. That's actually a step ahead. Let's go back here just a little bit. We're back to the courtyard here, or we're still in the courtyard of Caiaphas. And John, because he knew the high priest, what was that association? I don't know. But John knew the high priest, and because of that, he was able to get into the courtyard where Jesus had been taken. Peter was not. Peter had come. Nothing is said about any of the other apostles. But Peter, you know, the one, you know, who said he would never deny Christ, is outside the courtyard one again. We're in John's account, chapter 18. And let's see, at John 18, verse 25. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" And he denied him. He said, "I am not one of the servants of the high priest." A relative of him whose ear Peter cut off said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again. And immediately the rooster crowed. And so that was the third time that Peter had denied Christ. You know, I missed the first time. We got to back up just a little bit. Go back. I'm sorry. Go back to verse 15. And Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple, that would be John. That disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then that other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. And the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" And he said, "I am not." And the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. That was the first time that he denied him. And so somewhere there in that courtyard at the house of the high priest, there were fires going, and Peter is just a your picture today. Peter is standing there among the servants of the high priest, among some seemingly who are intent on condemning Jesus, and he's trying to warm himself. He's there because he wants to be close to Jesus, because he loves him, and at the same time he's in this quandary about, aren't you one of his? Well, no, I'm not. I mean, was it just fear? I'd be scared. You see what's happening to Jesus. You know, and yet he didn't want to leave him. And yet he was afraid to, you know, acknowledge that he was one of the disciples. It's a painful time for Peter when the rooster crowed. Peter knew what had happened. Go back to Matthew's account again, chapter 26. Matthew's account, chapter 26. And again, without reading the whole account here regarding the denial of Peter, in verse 75, this is after he denied him the third time, the rooster crowed. Peter remembered the words of Jesus who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. In let me see. Let me find the account I want to make a reference to. Yeah, it's basically the same thing said in Mark's account. Luke's account is where I want to go. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Again, going just through the sequence here of Peter denying the Lord. And we take verse 60. And Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you deny me three times." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. That just really stands out to me, this point here about, I mean, Jesus was in the courtyard close enough that he could see Jesus. And Jesus could see Peter. The Lord turned and looked at Peter when he denied him. And just try to imagine what Peter was feeling at that point. The cold that rushed through him. He saw the Lord looking at him. These are the events of the courtyard. We go back to the Jewish trial now. Back to John's account, John chapter 18. And we read here just a moment ago. In John chapter 18. Let's read this again. John 18, verse 19, beginning. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. And Jesus said to him, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogues and in the temple, where the Jews always met, and in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard me what I have said to them. Indeed, they know what I have said." And when he said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do not answer the high priest like that." And Jesus said to him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of evil. But if well, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. So there was a beating that took place with Annas. There's a beating that takes place with Caiaphas as well, when he's with Caiaphas. Here again, what has been said already is that they wished to condemn Jesus to death. They were lacking their proof. They had no witnesses. There's been the effort to try to bring witnesses, false witnesses, but the false witnesses couldn't even get their story together enough where any of the judges were compelled to say that this man is guilty. And that episode is going to continue even as it goes forward right here. And so, as we just think about some of the events that we've read about this morning, some of these different accounts. We've been to Annas. Annas asked about the doctrine that Jesus was teaching, and Jesus says, I mean, everybody knows the doctrine I've been teaching. You've heard the doctrine I've teaching. Just ask other people. It's not been in secret. You know, I've been up here at the temple. You know, I've been at the synagogue. I've been in the marketplace. I've been all over Jerusalem. There's no secret about what I'm teaching. And Annas is asking him about what he's teaching. Jesus is not going to answer that, because he said, I've already answered all these questions. In my teaching, these things have already been said. There was nothing that Jesus was holding back. You know, this episode here of the guard striking Jesus, what was that about? It was a response to the answer that Jesus gave the high priest. Why was he striking Jesus? What was that about?
Your emotions were running so high. It didn't take much for him to do that.
Yeah.
They were looking for an excuse to strike Jesus. The amazing thing about him striking Jesus is Jesus' reaction.
Mm-hmm.
That's the amazing thing to me. Mm-hmm. When somebody walks up and slaps us in the face,
yeah,
our initial reaction, we want to grab them and break their arm.
Yeah, yeah.
But Jesus,
he took that.
Complete self.
Because the high priest would have been looked at as a higher level. Yeah.
According to them.
Yeah.
Jesus' words are not disrespectful.
Right. Yeah, his words were not, you're right, they weren't disrespectful. But it was not the answers that they were wanting to hear. And so it was looked at as being disrespectful in that way. Okay, so from here, Jesus is going to be sent on to the Roman trial, as some have called it. And that's going to take us into lesson 24.